we all stand together tonight? Help me sing this. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again on Wednesday night. Just looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. We have several written requests tonight. We want to continue to remember Sister Vicki Tidwell in our prayers, that God will continue to strengthen and be with her. Sister Bethany, we're just believing for her that the Lord's just going to touch her in a special way. Amen. We want to remember Sister Christy once again. She had some tests, and I think now they're saying she's got some gallstones. And they're supposed to do some kind of test tomorrow and check her out and see what the alternative is going to be or what to do. So let's just remember her. Also, Sister Wanda is sick tonight. She's got some food poisoning, I believe, so let's remember her in our prayers. I want to continue to remember Brother Yulteg, the brother that was in the accident, that the Lord will continue to be with him. And also the saints that are in Florida, especially in the West Palm Beach church, so we want to remember them tonight. And I'm sure there's other requests, but I don't know it, but God does. If you have something on your heart tonight, just make it known by an uplifted hand, and He knows what we have need of. Brother Jonathan, come tonight, brother. Lead us in prayer.
Amen. You happy to be in church tonight? All the places we can be, and we choose to be right here. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's believe together. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, oftentimes, Lord, we don't have the words to say what you really mean to us, Lord. But Lord, we're so thankful, Lord. We're such a privileged group of people, Lord, that, Lord, every step that we take, you've already ordained it. Lord, every move that we make, you've done predestinated it. You see every temptation that comes our way before we even know that it's coming. You see every sickness that comes upon our body before we ever feel the first symptom. Lord, and you've created a plan to give us a way out. Lord, and that's through prayer. Lord, we pray together this morning and we bind our faith together, Lord, that all of these sicknesses, all of these problems, Lord, all of the concerns, Lord, all of the issues in our families, in our, Lord, in our lives, Lord, we lay them before you, Lord Jesus. You see every sickness that we ask prayer for. You see every hand that we raise to you, Lord. It's a need. It's a desire. It's a, Lord, it's a request for help. Lord, your word says we have not because we ask not. Lord, we're here tonight asking as a group, Lord. Lord, we need you more than we've ever needed you, Lord. We need you to come join us more than you've ever joined us, Lord. We ask you to sweep through this service tonight, Lord. And Lord, in the song service, Lord, to be a part of every song that's sung, Lord. And just, Lord, receive honor and praise from our lips, Lord. Touch your brother Ben, Lord, as he brings the word, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, you just use his mind, Lord. Use his body. Speak to us what we have need of, Lord. Encourage us. Correct us. Lift us up. Give us joy. Let us worship and praise with freedom. Lord, come worship with us, we ask. In thy lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
How many wants to do what our pastor asked us to do tonight? Put on our ugly praise if we have to. Whatever kind of praise we have, let's just give it to the Lord tonight. And don't worry about who's beside you or whatever. Just know that it's for the Lord that gets the praise tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together. I believe it's in B flat. B flat. Oh, once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and he listened to me. Oh, and glory to God, he set me free. Oh, he set me free, yes, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, and I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he set me free. And now I am climbing higher each day, and the darkness of night, it has drifted away, and my feet are planted on higher ground. Oh, and glory to God, I am homeward bound, for he set me free, yes, he set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, now goodbye to sin and things that confound. Oh, none of this world will turn me around. For daily I'm working and I'm praying too. Oh, and glory to God, I am going through. For he set me free, yes, he set me free. And those words tonight, did you understand what you were singing? He set me free and broke all the bonds. I know we all work today and we're all wore out. It's Wednesday night, but you ought to put more into this tonight than you did your efforts today at work. Just lay aside all those things and enter in. We're in God's chosen place of worship tonight, and let's just give him all the praise for it. Amen. Let's stay. Well, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth will soon its glory share, where the chosen ones shall gather over on the other shore, and everybody will be happy over there. We'll hear nobody praying, no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb, and everybody will be happy over there. Over. there we'll meet the one who saved us, and he kept us by his grace, and he brought us to that land so bright and fair. And we will praise his name forever as we look upon his face, and everybody will be happy over there. Imagine for a little bit when you look over at somebody and you smile and they smile back. Sometimes today you look at them and they just stare and you smile and say, I'm smiling, okay? Be reciprocal. Smile back to me. Amen. We'd be a little bit happier if we'd do that tonight, wouldn't we? Amen. Aren't you glad that you was there when the Spirit came? I'm just so thankful I was. Let's sing that. Amen. Well, I was there when the Spirit came. I felt His power and I praise His name. I was there when the Spirit came. I felt His power flowing from above. All at once He gave me joy and love. I was there. Was on the day of Pentecost, the disciples in the Spirit were lost. They were there when the Spirit came. The Spirit is the same as then. Just open up and let Him in. I was there. There when the Spirit came, I felt His power and I praised His name. I was there when the Spirit came. I felt His power flowing from above. All at once He gave me joy and love. I was there. I praise His name. I was there when the Spirit came. I felt His power flowing from above. All at once He gave me joy and love. I was there when the Spirit came. And I could run troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's my rock and my shield. He gives power to all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I am free from all condemnation. For Jesus, He's the rock of my salvation. I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's my rock and my shield. He gives power to all. Hallelujah. To make you feel good tonight. Now I'm free from all condemnation because Jesus, he's the rock of my salvation. Amen. And life is easy when you're up on a mountain and you've got peace like never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Oh, don't lose faith, for you are never alone. And the God of night. Oh, and we can talk of faith when we're up on the mountain. Oh, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptation. Oh, that's when our faith is, it's really put to the test. And the God of the mountain, he's still God in the valley. When things go the God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day, he's still God in the night. Wow, what a revelation right there. We get in the valley sometime and we forget God's still there. But that's when he's there, when you need him the most. He's more present is in the valley. And that makes us appreciate the good times, doesn't it? We'll let you have your seats tonight. We'll have our brothers to come and receive the evening offering you just give to the Lord. And I know he'll bless you for that. Let's sing a little bit of this. And the anchor holds. As I have faced the raging seas, but the anchor spite of the storm. Well, I have journeyed through the long dark night out on the open sea by faith. Sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. Anchor holds in spite of the storm. Praise the Lord. Brother Eugene, good to see you tonight. You and Sister Sherry and the family, God bless you. I want you to remember that coming up the 19th and the 20th, we'll be having special services. That's going to be on a Saturday evening and Sunday. Brother Andrew Dodd will be here speaking for us, and we're just looking forward to what the Lord has in store. Amen. Sister Abby, I got it tonight, girl. She's got a song for us tonight, so if you'd come up and sing for us, we'd appreciate it.
Atmosphere's changing, nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we pray. Flame, mercy raining down, healing water.
Just say that name tonight. Say Jesus. It changes the atmosphere. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will, tonight as we better, brother, minister what the Lord has laid on his heart for us. This goes hand in hand with this song tonight. Oh Lord, I lift your name, your holy name, Jehovah, Jehovah God, Elohim, the great I am, the great I am, the risen Lamb, the risen Lamb, he's my comforter. Thank you.
Oh, let's hear you sing it tonight. Oh, Lord, I lift your name, your holy name, your holy name. Oh, Jehovah God, Elohim, the great I am, the risen Lamb, the risen Lamb, He's my comforter and King. Can I hear you sing with no music? Let's sing it. Oh Lord, I lift your name, your holy name, Jehovah.
Praise the Lord. Wave your hand like this. I say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Oh, what place would you ever choose to be than right here in this atmosphere like this right here? Amen. There's a fellow many years ago that would say, I'd rather be in church than the best prison in Tennessee. He said, amen. That's right. Amen. We appreciate the Lord tonight. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Y'all just sounding wonderful tonight. Love that song. What a voice. What a singing. What a voice. What a voice. What a voice. Man. And I love that music. I love it. If God would let me just do that and forget this preaching thing, I'd do that any day of the week. Amen. Rather than the preaching part. But it falls hard. Yeah, it don't work that way, do it? Yeah. I've been putting my application in, you know, for other things, you know, but anyhow, amen. Yeah, for sure. Luke 19, verse 1, if you got your Bible. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see the Hewlin family. Blake, good to see you, buddy. Amen. Nice to see you. Ain't got that collar around your neck right now. Amen. Lord bringing healing to you. Appreciate all of our young people up here on the front row. Now listen, you young ones, come right up here. This is your spot up here. Pastor's done let us know all the young people come to the front. So if you want to come and get up here, and that includes mine. My two, three, hiding over there. If you want to get up front, come on. Luke 19, verse 1. I want to preach to you tonight on removing our camouflage. Removing our camouflage. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Anybody know where we're heading already? Amen. Which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. You know, it always surprises me. It shouldn't. By now, it shouldn't after all these years. But it always surprises me, Brother Pat, that when revival is happening, murmurs are right in the middle of the revival. How do these complainers show up every time Jesus is moving like that? Try to steal the influence away from him. Amen. It's exactly what they do. And they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, I like that, and said unto the Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. Now, the reason he was saying this is because Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he was someone that, of course, tax collectors are not like they are today. Tax collectors in this day and age, the people that do such, they send you threatening letters and they see you in court. These guys broke your legs and kicked your front door in, drug you out, and threw you in prison. They wasn't very liked or loved. Actually, now that I think about it, not much has really changed. But the way they handle things has pretty much changed. But this is one reason why, that he was hiding himself. His shame and the prestige even of who he was, he didn't want that to be identified in this meeting with Jesus. So he hides. Now, listen to this as for a kind of a support to the scripture. I want to read out of the message, Zacchaeus. Now, I'm going to draw my thought from this. Brother Bram says, O Lord God, may they be like Zacchaeus and climb down out of the tree and say, Lord God, if I've did anything wrong, I'll make it right. If they've neglected church, if they've neglected their prayer, if they've neglected their duty as a Christian or a believer or a church member, if they've neglected receiving the Holy Spirit, inviting you knocking at their heart this morning, grant, Lord, that right now that such a person will move back the little camouflage and slip right out into the open and say, Lord, go home with me today and abide with me. Let's pray over the word. Lord Jesus, we count it a privilege to be in your house tonight. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know you're here. Not only do we feel you, Lord, and the power of your resurrection, but Lord, we know what your Bible taught us, and that is where two and three are gathered, you would be in the midst. And now, Father, we surrender our lives to you. I surrender myself on this platform to you, that for your glory, you will come and you will speak to the hearts of your children and use me as a vessel to do that. I pray that you will open the ears and the hearts and the minds of your children to receive. May the power of the Lord just be here with us tonight to bind any spirit contrary, anything contrary to our minds or our spirit or the preaching of the word. Move all them old things away from us, Lord, that we might be completely open to receive. Fill up our cups tonight. Lord, as I looked around the church a moment ago, some standing here, many standing here with needs and burdens and hurting and things going on, Lord, we need you tonight to arrive in the form of your living word and speak to us and move on our behalf. Lord, may you just fill up the pews and them empty places with the angels of God, and may the fire of God occupy every empty place. But Lord, don't forget that empty place in our heart. Let the fire of God occupy that as well, as we commit the word now, both speaker and listener, to your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the saints said, all the little Zacchaeuses said, amen and amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Brother Joseph, again, church body, for receiving us tonight. First thing tomorrow, as soon as I get done with my little Polish people I teach in the afternoon, we're heading to Canada. There's a hurricane in Florida. There might be snow in Canada. I don't know, so pray for either one, either side of it. But you just hold us before the Lord. God's doing some wonderful things up there, and we're certainly looking forward to that revival. And I'm taking my wife with me. She's going to get to travel with me for a change. And she's having to play hooky from school tomorrow. If you heard that out there, you didn't hear that. But anyways, We like that. But appreciate the Lord tonight. And now I'm going to read you some statements, and we're going to read about maybe four or five quotes, and then I'm just going to go right to the book of Matthew and probably spend the rest of the evening there. And just to let you know, some of these statements I got to read to you, they're burners now. They're not. This is not going to be real simple, sweet, you know, one of those type of sermons where everybody's going to feel petted when you walk out of here. But you just know the purpose of this is not to sound mean or ugly, but, you know, to challenge us a little bit. I think you folks know me by now that you know that I love you, and I'm not trying to be mean, even though I look mean when I preach sometimes. But the thing that I want to show you, if the Lord will help us, is this about our camouflage. Now, before we read one more thing, I want to give you an idea of what I have in my heart about this camouflage. Because when we talk about the scene that was, I could say almost like a great drama unfolding in a way, it was almost like a script writer wrote out this scene. You know, it's like a skit or a play or something. It was so perfect, the way that this all unfolded, that you couldn't have asked for it to be any more predestinated. I tell people sometimes, if you don't believe in predestination, read the story of Zacchaeus. Because he's in one tree, Jesus is under that tree in the middle of a crowd of people. He's hiding behind those leaves up there. Jesus knows right where he's at the moment he sees him. If you don't believe in predestination, that's a good story right there to get you started on the right path toward it. And I like that Zacchaeus has problems. I like that he's a little bit broken, because I can identify with that, can't you? I can identify with a man that needs the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for me, when I read this story, of course, I look at it in a symbolic form that represents you and me and all the rest of us. But also, I see in the camouflage manifold type within that. Because the camouflage or the covering, you could literally, I'm not joking when I say it, I could take 12 services in a row, preach 3 hours each service, and never even scratch that one word, camouflage. There are so many things that that could identify: complexes, fears, putting on that brave face when you don't feel so brave, etc., 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 etc. It could just go on for hours and days, no kidding. But for you, I will not try to make a very plain, I won't hit the target as to what your camouflage is. I'll just let that be between you and the Lord. I figure you know yourself enough, and that you know your walk with God. You know what this camouflage is for you. Now, we could talk about it even in the form of a church. Sometimes churches will put on a type of camouflage that will make them seem as though they're protected in a way of, you know, society. And even preachers will preach with a type of camouflage where they use all the political correct terms and they don't offend people. And, you know, they stay out of tater patches. That's the problem with our preachers nowadays. They've thrown their shovel and their hoe and their rakes away. They don't get in tater patches anymore. But for me, the kind of preaching I like is the one that gets in my tater patch every now and then. And you see, the real promise of God for every believer is that you will be a real, authentic, genuine person with all of your brokenness and all of your flaws and all of the ups and the downs that come with being you. God promised that you're going to be you. And he even said, like in the resurrection, that if you're red-headed, Amber, or you're black-headed, whatever you might be, Shishel, you know that in the resurrection, you come right back up the same exact way you went down. When God made you, even with all of those little things in your life and how you're made and how you're built, all of that within itself is for a purpose. And God does that way and designs you that way so that that negative part or that weak part of you can express the positive, which is Christ, in your life. Remember that in the Garden of Eden, when Satan deceived Eve and she fell by reasoning of the word, remember that the prophet of God said that God had built her in a way that she could be deceived. He built the weakness into her. When she looked upon the serpent, desired him, and felt that spirit of lust, and then that craving for knowledge and for that thing that was forbidden, which was the forbidden fruit, as we would say, which was not just sex desire alone, but it was also all of the promises of the unknown, of what the serpent was saying, I can give you this, and I can do that for you. So all of that was something that attracted her because God built her in a way, on purpose, predestinated her so that she would have that response. Remember that he tells us in Spoken Word's original seed that he had the same thing designed into the Ephesian church age. that they would be on fire. They would come from Pentecost. The power of God would establish them, and they would be just on the mountaintop. Everything would be great. And all of a sudden, I have somewhat to say against you because you've left your first love. Now, it would look in one way like, well, Lord, if you're going to have a group that's going to be a powerful group, a group that's going to take the name of Jesus Christ and run with it, well, why would you put flaws and weaknesses in that group? But you see, that's the beauty of being called by God, that he can take you with all the things that you are and use that to work out his very own glory. Now, I could read it to you. I'm sparing you a lot of reading. Believe me, there was about 14 pages laying here, and I cut all that down. You're welcome back there in the back, by the way. And I saw many places where the prophet of God said things such as that because Zacchaeus was little in stature, Brother Bram said, God made him that way for the very purpose that you see unfold right here. Made him with a little bit of an inferiority complex, made him where he had, Napoleon syndrome, the small man but trying to be a big man type syndrome. Made him with all of those things built in so that he would have the complexes or the fears or whatever he would have. And those things in his life, and be sure to listen to this, young people, those weaknesses in his life is what actually drew him to Jesus Christ. Remember, the prophet said that tension was a blessing to him. Without tension, he said, perhaps I wouldn't even be a child of God, not even be a Christian today without this tension. So he says, it's been a blessing to me. So we see the things that God allows us to go through, it creates and carves out a pathway so that we will come to the spot to where when we come face to face with Almighty God in this way like Zacchaeus did, all of that brokenness will appropriate the very plan of God and put it in action for our lives, where we'll be standing there saying, Lord, I don't know what else I can do. I might have been successful, might have made a lot of money, might have had a big ministry, or might have been a singer or a musician or had a great business or whatever you might be. But Jesus, in spite of all of that, I need you, Lord, in my life. Oh, and I'm so glad, Brother Greg, he does it that way, aren't y'all? I'm glad that he fixes it in a manner to where that we will see ultimately our great need of him. Now, notice this again. Whenever Zacchaeus begins to make his way up into this tree, remember this great sycamore tree that he climbs up into is the very same sycamore type, that breed of tree, or what do you say, the design of the tree, or the style of tree, that Judas will later hang himself on. He hangs himself on a sycamore tree, but Zacchaeus gets delivered in one. So you see, not always is your situation meant for your end to be bad and to be evil. Sometimes the very same tree that you're dealing with will be the very death of you, but sometimes it'll be the very thing that leads you to Jesus. You know, I marvel when people, and I had a thought the other night, Brother Joseph, about serpent seed. People talk about, oh, that serpent seed, and oh, the tree, that was a natural tree. And isn't it amazing that whenever we go to talking about our family history, we go back into our ancestry and search out our family tree. And people still can't see serpent seed after that. Somebody's blind or not reading or paying attention or something. The family tree, right, the one that started in Eden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil that has followed us all the way down here. And let's be honest, it's that tree that's either going to bring you to Jesus or hang you. Now, the question is are you going to come out from underneath your camouflage long enough to be able to meet Jesus? Oh, I can feel this. I feel that little tough preaching coming on. Just, I love you now. I love you. All right, now watch this now. In a message called Be Not Afraid, Brother Man says it like this. He said, you know, when you take a notion to meet Jesus, he will do, he will make you do some of the silliest things. Brother, I got to stop here. I was reading this quote today. And Steve Shelley come on my mind. I got to tell you this. If I don't tell you this, I'll kick myself for 2 weeks. Steve was a Pentecostal at this time, and he come to church in an old tent revival, sawdust on the floor. When I read this quote, I couldn't help but think of this. White suit. I'm talking just stark white. And he said he had walked in there, had his little bolo tie on, had his belt buckle in there, his cowboy boots, and had his white suit on and a big cowboy hat, white cowboy hat. I had determined, he said, never to shout tonight because I didn't want to get my suit dirty. He said, by the time the Holy Ghost got done with me, I was in the sawdust rooting like a pig in the trough. That's what I thought of when I was reading this quote right here. And Brother Ram says, God, when you meet Christ, he will sometimes make you do some of the silliest things. Amen. He will just ruin all your prestige. You know, I don't mind telling you, I think we need him to ruin some of our prestige sometimes. I don't know about you, but when I look around at myself and I look at people I preach to and the places I travel, people are just too uppity for their own good. Come on, you country people can blink at me. They're just too formal and they're just too, you know, well, I know, sister, you spend a lot of time getting them curls just right. And you get that hair and you get everything. And brothers, let's not sit there like our, you know, we're innocent little people. Oh, no. Brothers will stand in the mirror and they'll take that comb and they'll comb that hair. They'll make sure everything is just right, just like the sisters do. Amen, right? We have a lot of that in us, amen, because we want to present ourselves in a right way. But you see, when we come to the house of God and we purpose to get into the presence of the Lord, amen, I'm not hoping, I'm not trusting, I'm not believing, I am counting on him taking any of my prestige out of me before I walk out that back door. I'm not playing guesswork with it. I want him to ruin my tie, root in the sawdust like a pig if I need to. Brother Jonathan, if that's what it takes to get me right with God and to make me come out from underneath my camouflage, that's what I want. Too many of us have so much prestige about us. And let me say something with these young people sitting on the front rows and around the church tonight. If you older people in here, if you want them to be able to experience the trueness of Pentecost, you need to model it for them. They need to see it. Too often, Believer's Tabernacle, we're like everybody else. We're responsible. There'll be, you know, we want to live a right life, and we want to be Christians, and we want to serve the Lord, and we want to make the money we need to make and live in the right house. But when we come to the house of the Lord, amen, we're so tired from all of that that we forget about our purpose of being here. My purpose of being here isn't to catch a little extra sleep. My purpose of being here isn't just to shake hands with a fella, amen, and say, God bless you, good to see you, but my purpose of being in the house of God, amen, is because I am created to be a worshiper. And it is my duty, it is my responsibility to worship whether I feel it, whether I don't, whether all hell is breaking loose around me. My responsibility is to worship God. But too many times the prestige takes over. Well, what will people think about me? You see, if you really meet him in the right way, he'll make you do some of the silliest things. Count on it. Count on it. You think maybe Jesus will take it easy on you? When you really let him have entrance and you crack that door open and let him jam a foot in there, hey man, you think he's going to take it easy on you, honey? He'll shout you so hard you wouldn't be able to curl your hair for a month. Hallelujah. He knows how to put us in a position to where that all that prestige spills out of us. We're that way because of the internet sometimes. I've found that our internet churches and the message have a tendency to be a little bit more formal. Because people can see you on Facebook. And, you know, of course, everybody on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all the social media platforms, you know, they take the picture when everybody's, you know, wait a minute, let me get my tie right. Oh, wait a minute, let me get my hair right. You know, and you can see them, it'll take them 20 minutes to take a 5-second picture. But yet when it comes to the house of the Lord, you never see really people putting on their profile picture, them laying on the floor, passed out, drunk in the spirit with slobber coming out of their mouth. But you know, I'm looking for that moment where I can get a profile picture right in the middle of a good drunk on the Holy Ghost. I figure that's probably the better profile picture out of all of them. Right, prestige, this attitude of, you know, the message, we're the elite now. You know what we've done? Same thing Zacchaeus did. We've camouflaged ourselves in religion Because frankly, we're sometimes ashamed of this old-fashioned gospel, Brother Mark. We're ashamed to shout and slobber and speak in tongues. We're message people. We've got fine churches and fine music and fine preaching. And we're the elite now, so we shouldn't behave like a bunch of radical people. But that's the kind of things Jesus will make you do if you ever get out of the tree. The problem is some of y'all just ain't been out of the tree long enough. You get it, you take a foot and hang it down. Woo! You climb back up in that thing. Get out of that tree, Zacchaeus. Come out from underneath your camouflage. Because there's a blessing laying there at the bottom. Praise the Lord. Sure, I've seen people actually quench the Spirit of God. Remember, one of the commandments Paul gives us is don't quench the Spirit. I've seen Brother Joseph be preaching his heart out. And the Holy Ghost, you can feel it hit that crescendo moment. And I look around and think, we should be on our feet. I look around, about four of us are standing. Oh, I know what you're going to say. Well, I'm just not brave enough to do that. Unless you're on the basketball court or out there talking or in the fellowship hall or taking pictures downstairs. Uh-huh. Come out of that camouflage, Zacchaeus. Don't forget your Pentecostal birthright. Right. No, I'm saying there's nothing wrong with those things, but what do we give more credence to? What do we nod or tip our hat to more? Being able to look good on Facebook and look good on the internet, and when they stream the services, everything has that formal tone to it, or everything seems like a religious service. Could you imagine if they would have been live streaming the day of Pentecost? What I'd like to see, Brother Jonathan, is the archives. I'd like to see the archives when Mary, the Catholic Mother Virgin, comes staggering out of the upper room like a drunk woman and couldn't even talk right because she was speaking another language. They'll never stream that kind of service, not around the message anyways. And if they do, it'll be one here and one there and one somewhere else. Why? We've camouflaged ourselves in formality. And we use every excuse in the world, don't we? I'm too tired. Well, you know, if Brother So-and-so would just get with it, I could get with it. If you get with it, I guarantee Brother So-and-so would get with it. But I learned a secret a long time ago about pulling on the word. Whether he gets with it or not, I'm going to get with it. Because if he don't want the blessing, I'll take his too. Look, people, I didn't get as big as I am by eating my own food. You don't want your hot dog, I'll take it. Amen. Now listen to this. He said he'll ruin your prestige. You think you won't squall, all right, cry, that's right, boo-hoo? Yeah. I know some of y'all about to pass out. Hang in there with me. Hang on. But Brother Ben, I couldn't do that. See, that's the problem. You're still hiding behind the tree. You ever get out from underneath that camouflage and let Jesus have his way? You don't have to worry about what will happen. Just put yourself in his hands. He knows how to do it. And friends, he will not embarrass you. I've seen people in these meetings, you know, over the last few years, laying out blankets around the altar, preparing everybody, getting them ready for the big shout. That has not got one thing to do with real godly Pentecost. Brother Ram said in the Church Age book, what God wants out of his people is spontaneous Christian worship. Not planned, not programmed, not forecasted. Amen. Do you think for a moment that these singers and musicians, when they meet, they've got a schedule of what they're going to sing? But you better believe one thing. If Brother Mark feels led to sing a different song, if the Holy Ghost says go this way instead of that way, that's what I love about being non-denominational. Amen. If the Holy Ghost says go that way, you go that way. Why? You follow the Spirit of God. No matter where he might lead you, you let him lead you. Come out of that tree, Zacchaeus. Get out from underneath that formal camouflage. Oh, I know, people. I'm just not an emotional person. You mean about things you're not emotional about. But if it was a football game or somebody playing this one or that one or some kind of a certain thing, a cooking recipe, I've seen sisters that wouldn't move a finger in church, almost jumping up and down over a new recipe. There's nothing wrong with that, but you should give Jesus the higher jump. Come on, preach to me. I know. If you say amen a little bit harder, you're going to be committing yourself to the preaching. I know, I get it. That's all right. Not ready to commit yet, but that's all right. It's out there anyways. You can get there down the road. Just give yourself some time. Now watch this. He says, but if you want to see him, you will do anything to see him. Oh, my. Now, watch this in the Message Pride. Brother Bram says, now, what does the word Pharisee mean? We don't use that word very often in Kentucky, he said, but what does the Pharisee word mean? In the Greek, it means an actor, someone who acts. You know, we've said for a long time that this is, you know, this is symbolic of someone who is just a religious person, but on the inside is not very spiritual. But actually, all of us have the potential of being Pharisees. Let me explain to you what I mean. First of all, a Pharisee, if he's an actor, he's someone that is putting on a false face, a false front. For example, you know, you take people that maybe they're hurting or they're in pain, but because they're the type of people that don't want to reach out to nobody or don't want to admit their mistakes or admit that they need help, you know, you ask them if they're okay. I'm fine. You're acting just like the Pharisees. You're actually feeling different, but you're not telling on the outside what's really on the inside. Woo! Preach, Brother Ben. Right, that's being an actor. Now, you know, when somebody feels threatened, people feel threatened, they feel intimidated, a lot of times they'll change their behavior to reflect a more protective stance. And I used to think, many years ago, just to give you an example of what I mean, many years ago a brother had told me that if you cross your arms in church, about like you, sis, don't move your arms, you're fine. But when you cross your arms in church, that you're being resistant to the Spirit of God. 25 years I went with that idea in my brain. I never preached it for doctrine, but just was there. Until I studied, I thought the other day, I thought, you know what? I need to find out if there's any truth to this thing or not. All these years, I've never really checked it out. I don't know why I didn't. So I started doing some research on what it means when you cross your arms. And what I find that when people cross their arms, it's called self-soothing. You're hugging yourself. You either feel uncomfortable or you're in a position where you're trying to find a place of comfort or rest, and then you'll fold your arms or some way you're giving yourself a hug. Praise the Lord. It's called self-soothing. You're doing that because subconsciously something is going on either in your mind or your subconscious mind, and your body is reacting to that openness, that vulnerability. One fellow, I was preaching this in Arizona, and he said, he's an old country boy. He said, well, Brother Ben, that's partially true. He said, the other part of it is I fold my arms to keep myself from going to sleep. I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. One man's trash pile, another man's treasure pile, I guess. Amen. Potato, potato, right? But, you know, we do things a lot of times as mechanisms of what's going on the inside. You know, you take a husband and wife, and say they've had an argument or spat, somebody's mad at the other one or some kind of thing going on, you know, and you say, are you okay? You all right? Yeah, fine. Now, you know they're not. And if you've been married in length of time at all, you know when they are and when they ain't. Lord God, even the married folk getting quiet on me now. Woo, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right, and you know that there's something going on underneath. Well, what we don't realize, that is the spirit of acting or a pharisaical type anointing. Now, there's degrees to that, of course. You know, you take a person that maybe mad at their spouse or something, they're not trying to be like a hypocrite or a Pharisee, but they've entered into that realm of acting. And what they've actually done is removed the honesty from the conversation. And when you remove honesty from the conversation, how do you ever expect to get to the truth? Well, hallelujah. So for all of you that like to run and slam your bedroom door and say, I'll talk to you when I'm good and ready, God bless you, you're doing the most honest thing you could probably do. For the rest of you that say, I'm fine, you got some praying to do. Actually, I would rather have a little bit more of the openness, even if it was wild or out of order a bit. I'd rather have some of that. I'd rather at least know where I stood than to deal with somebody that never expressed themselves honestly to me. I feel that same way about a preacher. If a man's going to preach to me, if a servant of God's going to preach to me, I don't want him just to say, now you're all elected. God bless you, you little sweethearts. You're all going in the rapture. If I'm living in a way or doing something that's going to hinder me, I want him to get me eyeball to eyeball and say, even you, preacher or not, you better straighten up. I like it honestly like that. His attitude may not always be the best. He may not even have the best delivery. But I can handle it if I hear it just exactly the way it is. A whole lot better than you can with somebody that's purposely being deceitful. Well, hallelujah. Everybody still love me? I still love you. All right, now watch this. Again, Brother Bram says, oh, God, he said, oh, my, deliver me from being an actor. But a Pharisee, oh, I hate that word. He said, an actor. He said, some sisters will do the same thing. Got a lot of acting about them. They'll cut their husband's nose off with, John, what'd you do that? Just as snappy as they can be. Right. Oh, my. Whew. God, deliver me from ever calling on you if this is the kind of spirit you have. But let someone talk on the telephone.
That's right.
You ought to hear Brother Bram say this on this tape. Oh, how do you do? Now, you see, that in itself is what I'm talking about. Watch what he says. I'm so glad that you called. Actors, shame on you. House angels, road devils. Whew. My goodness sakes alive, that Elijah can be hard. Now, can Believer's Tabernacle take this kind of preaching? Can you handle this? Now, to me, I can appreciate this kind of preaching right here. Brother Brown made it so plain that there's no question to me as to how I'm supposed to behave. I like that. I like that it's plain. Now, notice again. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, Jesus now speaking of the Pharisees. Now, if you'd like, if you got your Bible and you'd like to follow along, make notes or look at some of these scriptures here, you know, it'd be nice if you want to even study just a few of these remarks as we go down a little bit. And I want to just, if the Lord will help me, I want to just kind of show you some of this acting type behavior, some of this Pharisaical behavior. Now, look here, Matthew 6, 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do. Now, by the way, the word Pharisee in the Greek is hypocrito, which is hypocrite in English. So when somebody's being a hypocrite, they're acting. You ever met anybody in your life that you knew was saying one thing, doing another? That is the true definition of a hypocrite. Somebody that doesn't mean to be that way is not hypocritical. You know, really, we should be very, very careful how we throw that word around. Because a lot of times, you'll see somebody kind of straying off the path a bit, and you say, why, I knew it, that hypocrite. I'll be careful. If that person is just simply backsliding on the Lord, or they're getting weak in their faith, or their experience is beginning to drain out, or whatever, it's not hypocrisy if the person is weak or failing the Lord. It's hypocrisy when they have no intention of serving Him with their whole heart at all. Woo! Now, brother, you can see one thing is for sure. In this day and age, I believe, I'm going to give the return people a soundbite here. I believe in return ministry. I'm going to pause so they can get the bite later. But this is the return ministry I believe in. Return of the Pharisees. Jesus said this ministry, this group would return in the last day. We read it just the other night. I think Brother Joseph read it Sunday morning even. That having, you know, a form of godliness, lovers of pleasure and so forth, having a form, a camouflage of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's the return ministry I believe in. Somebody said to me, you don't believe Brother Bram's going to get up from the grave? I do, but I don't believe he's going to be up preaching. I don't believe he's going to set a tent up. I don't believe we have one more thing to hear from Brother Branham other than what he's already said to get ourselves ready for the rapture, the resurrection. But this ministry will return in the last days. Believers, make believers, and unbelievers are always gathered right around the revealed word of the hour. So if you've got them around you, you're in pretty good company. Hallelujah. We many times get discouraged when we see that old, those old crows and buzzards and things coming in. But don't let that surprise you. They're not stupid. They know where the fresh kill is at too. Maybe you've never thought of it, but I would say a crow will probably get sick and tired of always eating dead rabbits 4 days old. When he can see a fresh kill laying out there, oh yeah, if I was a crow, I'd probably go after it too. They've got some understanding of how to keep going. The difference between a dove And a crow is, the crow can go eat on the old bloated thing that's been hit on the road, laying there for 6 days, and then go over and eat with the dove. But the dove cannot eat on the fresh kill and then go over there. Makes him sick. Makes her sick. Now, I don't say, sister or brother, every now and then, that you might not try it. There might be moments where you might tear you off a piece of that dead skunk been laying there 9 months. Little bits of carcass laying there, just a bunch of disgusting, filthy, rotten, maggot-eating flesh. And you might, somebody might talk you into saying, ooh, wonder if it tastes good. Oh, you say, Brother Ben, that's ridiculous. No, that's about what happens when somebody introduces to you the latest Netflix movie or latest Prime Video or some other kind of thing out in the world that in God's eyes ain't nothing but a bunch of maggot-eating, carcass, filthy-ridden stuff. Come on, preach to me. Right? Every Christian might be tempted to go into those things. Oh, you say if you're a believer, you won't be tempted. The difference between me and you, my friend, is I'm being honest by the Bible. You're lying through your teeth. All of us are tempted to go back. You're not a human being if you're not. Now, whether you know you've got the goods or not is when your spiritual digestion, you don't have to say one thing, Brother Greg. If you got the Holy Ghost, your spiritual gastronomics can't take dead skunk. Glory. Well, I got one for you since I'm feeling the kick. In the Hebrews series, Brother Bram said a dove might even light in a bar room. Go look it up. But he said he'd get out of there right quick because his spiritual digestion can't take it. That doesn't give us a license for sin by no means, Brother Joseph, but what it tells us is that some people will go through depression. They'll go through bipolar. They'll go through all kinds of valleys. They'll get discouraged. They'll want to quit. They'll try to fail. But the moment they try to eat out there, their spiritual system will kick at them. You're not built for that. Make them sick to their stomach. Or do we not understand the story of the prodigal son yet? It's the whole reason why he ended up like he ended up. Oh, he had a big time. Sin has a paycheck for a season. But give it some time. All that go out there and backslide on the Lord like that, they'll find if there's anything to them at all, it doesn't last long. You get some of these people that lay out in the world for 20, 25 years, all of a sudden decide, well, I would come back to the Lord. Chances are you didn't have nothing in the first place. Because if you can lay out in the filth of the world and live like the world for 20-some plus years or whatever it might be, there's something wrong with what you say you've got. Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. I don't say God can't restore them, but a spiritual dove can't eat that long in the world. Right. Praise God. Especially after you've had a taste of this new manna. After you've ate on these grapes and this new wine. Oh, hallelujah. Now notice he said, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, we know historically what Jesus is referring to here is that the Jews would always stand praying. There were three times during the day, certain parts of the hour. You hear them say it was the third hour of the day or the sixth hour of the day. Their increments of what they'd say the hour were certain time periods in the day. So there'd be like a morning time, an afternoon time, and an evening time, we'll say, to where that a person would begin praying before the Lord. Now the Pharisees, when everybody else would just stand in their house and pray before God, they'd choose to go to the streets. And they wanted to really appear as piety. Now, you imagine the Lord Jesus, his little 5'9 frame, that beard hanging off him, little sandals up underneath his feet, and that robe pulling along that Galilean dust, and him walking through the market like we do today through Walmart. And it comes time to pray, and he looks over and sees all them Pharisees starting to stand on ceremony. You imagine what that must have done to the Lord Jesus Christ. He probably looked at that and said, what in the world do they think that proves? That's not being spiritual. This little guy over in his house over there, tucked away in his bedroom, praying before me. Praying before Christ. Exactly who they're praying to. The God that lived in Jesus. Same one you pray to. He doesn't need a pulpit to pray to him. He doesn't need a big cathedral to pray to him. You could be in a hog pen and still pray to him. Come on, somebody. But they would move out into the streets and stand in the streets and begin praying so everybody could see their pious works. You know, you've heard guys like that when they come up, maybe somebody asks them to come pray or something in church, you know, and they start out, "Our most holy potentate Father, our most glorious." And you think, Somebody get that spotlight off that dude before he passes out from the size of his own head. They're not praying so God can hear them. They're praying so you can hear them. That's not spiritual. Some of the most spiritual prayers that's ever been prayed are simple as simple can be. Just a simple, "Lord, I need your help today. I need your strength today." This idea that when we pray, we've got to get in this big, long, drawn-out spiritual language, show it to me in the Bible. Doesn't exist anywhere in Scripture or in the history of any servant or son or daughter of God that God ever demanded you pray a certain length of time. So you don't impress me with 2-hour prayers and 4-hour prayers and big prayer lists. Thank God if you've got that kind of life, but that is not a requirement for me to be able to pray to my Lord. So how long do you pray, Brother Ben, until he's done with me? Sometimes he's done in 5 minutes, sometimes he's done in 5 hours. It depends on what he wants. Not long ago, I started out from Manchester, Tennessee, and I drove all the way to Fort Smith, Arkansas, 550 miles, and I prayed the entire time I was in that car, 10.5 hours straight. The next day, I prayed 5 minutes. "God, you see the service today. You see my needs. I need your help. I commit my needs to you, and I ask you to be with me for the rest of the day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I love you, Lord. Amen." And you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit go, and I just walked out and got my clothes on and went. Oh, but you say, "Brother Ben, can you be spiritual like that?" Why not? What makes me spiritual in that regard? Do I need to be someone that impresses God when I pray? Oh, hallelujah. Well, if you ain't going to come out of the tree, it looks like I'm going to jerk you out of it. Come on now, preach to me. Now think, friends, if your heart is right with God, I'm not talking about somebody that doesn't have communication with the Lord. I'm not referring to someone that has no experience with God. But if you are in that mode of pray without ceasing and you're always in an attitude of prayer, you can go anywhere for a moment, step behind a machine at work and say, "Lord, you see this need and I need your help." You can bow your head over that one dish when you're pressing the button on the dishwasher. "Father, you see the service tonight. Move by your presence." You don't have to have long, drawn-out prayers. God ain't moved by that. He's moved by your faith and your constant commitment and service to him. Amen. I read it today where Brother Bram said that some of the greatest things that we can do for God is to be in service to him. To be dedicated and in service to God. That's all he's looking for. So you think, well, man, if I gotta get a hold of the Lord, we gotta fast, we gotta pray. If God don't put you on a fast, and if God don't put you in that mode of prayer, you are going to forget and neglect many important things that God's going to hold you responsible for by thinking that that is more important than that. Because what a lot of times people do is they take that attitude, "Oh, I've got to pray, I've got to read the Bible," and your kids ain't saw you for 6 weeks. The house ain't been touched in a month. Well, hallelujah. Looks to me like when you're busy and under the gun like that, you better be vacuuming and praying at the same time. Woo! Or you're going to be praying for roaches and cockroaches and everything to leave your house. Come on. Right. The attitude that we have many times about these things is really just a camouflage to hide our own vulnerability. "Lord, I want you to see me as spiritual." He does if you're committed to him. The length of prayers and how many chapters. I talked to a brother here some time ago, and he said, "You know, Brother Ben, I went through the Bible my 5th time this year." And I thought, praise the Lord, good for you. But that's meant to impress people. It's meant to think, I'm spiritual. You know, it used to be when we come to church, when a preacher would preach, he had a stack of books about that tall. That was for you. That was to impress you with all that he was going to tell you. Well, amen. You're getting quieter and quieter, but here we are. Right. Now watch this. Again, in Matthew 6:16, he says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as hypocrites of a sad countenance, For they disfigure their faces that they might appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say, they have their reward. So many times when they would take this one opportunity in the year at Passover to fast, that was a requirement of the Lord. And then the Pharisees would, some Jews, to show that they were trying to be faithful to God, they didn't want to do anything wrong before the Lord, sometimes would fast a couple extra times in the week. But when the Pharisees did it, Brother Joseph, they had to show you how spiritual they were. They made their faces really sad. And how are you today, Pharisee Jones? Well, I shouldn't say Jones. That ain't a good thing. I'm sorry about that. Smith. Any Smiths in here? I think I'm safe. All right. Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm just suffering before the Lord, agonizing for God's people. Jesus said, y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of actors. That ain't got nothing to do with piety. Did you ever notice when Jesus come out of the wilderness fasting 40 days, not one time did you ever Jesus pout? Talk about how sad he was, how sick he might have felt, didn't disfigure his face. Not one time did you get that attitude out of Jesus. No, that come from the actors, the ones that wanted to put on the dog. Sure. Now watch this again in Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, watch it again, of sad countenance, for they disfigure their face. Now see, if God does it, that's one thing. If God puts a burden on you and you are so burdened before the Lord that you're just weeping and agonizing, if God does it, that's one thing. But when you do it, now you're in a different realm altogether. Get out of that tree, Zacchaeus. Watch this now. In Matthew 7:5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, this is the most simple terms, is the toothpick and the telephone bowl. When this says mote, do you realize that this is literally a dust particle? Anybody ever had, you know, your eye, and you, that's what Jesus is talking about, a mote. Versus a stick about that long, shoved into somebody's eye. Now, here the attitude was, let me fix you. And I'll not worry about me or let you worry about me. I'll worry about me. Huh. You see, one of the areas that we get in trouble the most is meddling in everybody else's business. Oh, you say, Brother Ben, be careful. You're going to get in trouble. No, you ever want to be, you should be careful because I'm getting ready to lay a couple quotes on you now. In the adoption message, Brother Ben said, the reason we can't get adopted is because Ephraim is always in Dan's spot. And Dan is always down in the other one's spot. He said, don't you see why we can't have much adoption? You're out of your place. You realize the Bible talks about correction and correcting people and correcting one another in this way, that only if you see someone overtaken in a fault. You're not supposed to go to every person for every little fault you see. Because if you ain't careful, you know what you're going to find out? You got a telephone pole in your eye, boy. Praise the Lord. Man, somehow I figure when we got to this part, we'd all be shouting and swinging from those chandeliers. But you say, but Brother Ben, I need to stand for the word. And you're the Holy Ghost then? Or just a servant of it? So who is the Holy Ghost? You? Me? Jesus can take care of his own business, I'm pretty sure. He doesn't always need us to get in everybody's trash piles. Sometimes it's better just to keep this together and just pray. Lord, you see that dust in my brother Mark's eye. You see that dust in so-and-so's eye. God help them with those things. Now, of course, you know, the pharisaical attitude is that it's not dust to them. To them, it's a telephone pole. It's a beam. But it's not what you define. It's what Christ defined in his word. What's big is big to him, not to us. Now, watch this. Again, in Matthew 16, verse 3. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the time. Well, I guess they couldn't discern the face of the sky because that's where their nose was stuck all the time. constantly trying to exalt themselves. You know, most Christians of that day are Jews. They had a little thing called a phylactery. Brother Jonathan, it was a little box they kept either on their head or they kept it on their left arm. And it had the Pentateuch or the original scrolls, or not the original, but the writings of Moses, the law, and they keep it in this little phylactery. And then they'd have the garment. The border of their garment had a little fringe around it as a memorial. If you go in the Old Testament, you'll find that was given as a memorial for deliverance that God had given to the children of Israel. So when the little woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was actually remembering God's great deliverance that was associated with his very garment. And then in the left arm, he would hold right there that phylactery, the word, the law, and they'd also have it on their head. But modern day Pharisees, they've got the same idea, only they keep the law in their head and under their arm. I'm beginning to feel like this is Judas part two. I probably should have just named this a second part. Right. The idea is not, well, I know the Bible. Glory to God, I'll tell you what the prophet said and when he said it. That's a modern day Pharisee. Having that kind of knowledge doesn't get you that much closer to God, not even a little bit. You know what gets you close to God? You heard Brother Joseph say it the other night. Being able to surrender yourself to what's being preached. When you read the Bible, listen to the message, whatever you do, if you can surrender yourself to it, that's where great power comes from. But what are they doing? They are camouflaging themselves so nobody can see how broken they really are. But brother, sister, listen to Brother Ben tonight. That's the one thing you've got to get into your mind and heart right now. No matter how much you hide yourself in that tree, Jesus sees who you are no matter what. He just gives us the opportunity to just be honest with him. You know, if I could exhort these young men and women in anything in your walk with God, don't get caught up in the running to the altar and the emotions of running around the building. And don't get caught up in gifts and things like that. It's wonderful the Lord does it for you. But get addicted to honesty. I'm talking to you older ones too, but I'm trying to give you all a break for a minute. Because God is not interested, the Lord Jesus is not interested in hearing us come before him and spin some yarn about how we didn't mean to do it, when in our hearts we know we was drawn away after our own lusts. He would rather hear you just be plain honest. For example, if you're struggling tonight with whether you even want to serve the Lord or not, maybe you feel pulled by the world, and there's a part of you that really wants to go to the world, but you're afraid you're going to go to hell, or you're afraid that, you know, you'll miss some glorious part that you've been raised in about church. Well, then go to the Lord and tell him that. Lord, my heart craves that out there, but I also know this is right here. Lay all of that before him and just say, Lord, whatever you want with me, I'm here. Do with me what you want to do with me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Notice again, they were so heavenly minded, they were no earthly good. They could discern the face of the sky, but they couldn't see God walking on the earth in front of them. Notice in Matthew 22, 23, that was a subconscious slip, wasn't it? 22, amen, 13. 23, 13. I'll get it out right in a minute. All right, now watch this. In 22, 18, Jesus perceives their wickedness and he said, why tempt you, you hypocrites? And then 23, 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. In other words, they stand right in the door. How did they do it? By their example, by their teaching, by purporting themselves to be spiritual, some kind of liaison for God, that they know what the mind of God is. Let me tell you something, people. Nobody knows the mind of God for you but you and Jesus Christ. There is no pastor, no evangelist, no teacher, no prophet, no apostle that can tell you what God wants for you except for what God speaks to you. They can be helpful. They can point you in the right direction. They can prophesy of you, give you words from God. They can encourage you by the scripture, by the message. But nobody knows your destiny but the one that you're being called to. That's yourself. That's why it behooves every one of us to get before the Lord and say, God, what do you want to do with me today? Where are we going? What's the plan? What's the story? Nobody can determine that for you. Praise God. Oh, Lord, amen. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, verse 14, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. That's not that long prayer is bad, but the reason they were praying long was bad. Sure. Sometimes you just need to call a conference with the Lord, which is all right. But not in the mindset of every day. In order to be spiritual, you have to pray 2 hours every day. That's you setting that rule. Well, one of these days I'm going to get some of y'all to say amen to that. Right? There's nothing in the Bible, the message says you have to do it. Brother Branham said, pray, read your Bible every day. Did he say how long?
Yeah, no.
I'm just waiting for somebody to show me the part of it where he did. It doesn't say how long. You pray until you have met the need of your heart and you've done your requirements of what you're supposed to do. Worshiping the Lord, committing your day to him. Praise the Lord. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Man, hard preaching there. For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he's made, you make him twofold child more of hell than yourself. Now, here's what's amazing to me. They were so spiritual that instead of paying attention to the great needs within their own sphere of influence, they were always worried about somebody else. Don't mind telling you, that's the way Pharisees behave. There's an expression, mind your own business. Well, hallelujah. It's okay to say amen, it ain't gonna hurt nothing. Right. Oh, but you say, Brother Ben, we're a body. That's true, but we also have our own individual autonomy. We might be together, knitted together by heart, but Christ doesn't want one dictating over the other. That is in itself a spirit of Nicolaitanism. Wow. Right? We have to follow the Spirit of God as we feel led of the Lord. And if it is the Spirit of God, it will always come back to the Word. Yep. Look, for instance, some people say, you know, oh, I couldn't submit. Listen, I have zero problem submitting to a godly pastor. Zero. I don't struggle with it. I don't have to pray through about it. I don't have to call people or meet with people and say, pray for me that I can find submission to Brother Joseph. It's easy for me because the Spirit of God leads me. This is where I belong. This is where he placed me. This is the man that's my pastor. I have zero problem submitting myself to him. Some people struggle so hard. Oh, you know what? But if the Spirit of God is in that person, it will always lead them straight to the right pathway. Christianity is not difficult. We just make it difficult. Amen. Again, Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise, cumin, and have admitted and omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you have to have done and not to leave the other undone. Now watch that acting type spirit. They form an agenda. This is what they think is important, and they ignore all these other things right here. Brother, thank God for godly men of God, like Brother Jonathan and these other brothers that come through here and preach that are willing to hit that thing at every angle until when it's all said and done. With a fivefold ministry set before us as the people of God, there's no way that we could miss a detail. There's no way that we could miss those areas to serve the Lord. If we're listening, if we're paying attention and being obedient to what's being preached behind this platform, there's no way you could leave off anything in Christ. But when people have an agenda, you know, that's usually the one sermons that you get where you hear a slant and it's always going one certain direction and they're always looking at certain people and, you know, I hate stuff like that. I'd rather not even go to church and sit there and listen to that mess. I ain't got time for it no more. Praise the Lord. If I want somebody to preach to me without an agenda. Preach to me because you love me and want to see me make it to heaven. Amen. Don't you feel that way, friends? Right? But notice they always, and you can do this in your home, you know. You can put so much emphasis before your family upon this instead of that. As a Christian, I would rather say, let's emphasize all the right, not just the parts I think are the most important. Right? Again, Matthew 23:25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Y'all want to say the word instead of me? Hypocrites, right? Hypocrites. For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Now, I don't mean to scare you, but people in the message go to church with folks like this. Brother Bram said, the Bible said. They'll worship God with you, they'll raise their hands with you, they'll shout with you, and everything else in the world. But inside, they're full of extortion. They're full of excess. They've got agendas of their own. They've got purposes of their own, making their own plans. And you understand how that is. This is why, friends, if we're ever going to be able to come out from underneath any camouflage that we have, we've got to learn set our desires aside. If this doesn't prove it to you, I don't know what else I could read to you to prove that. Because one thing you see in this right here, over and over and over again, it's their desire, what they want, what they feel, what they think, what they believe. Not one time do they set it aside to say, this is what the Word says, whether I like it or not. Amen. But a real Christian will have that attitude. Look at the difference between what I've read to you and this little guy, Zacchaeus, and comes right out of the tree. Lord, if I've wronged anybody, if I've done anything at all, whatever it is, Lord, hallelujah, I want to be right. I'm yours, Lord. Take me in your hands. Oh, I like that. Oh, so in Matthew 23, verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You're like whited sepulchres. Indeed, appear beautiful outward, but within you're full of dead preachers' bones. I mean men's bones. And of all uncleanliness. Matthew 23:29. Last scripture. And somebody probably said, amen, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know, I told you, this is some tough stuff. But watch this. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and then garnish the sepulchers of the righteous. This is a case, Brother Matt, this is where you see this attitude coming in. Well, I'll have you know that my great-great-great-great-grandfather's pedigree goes plumb back to the tribe of Benjamin. And I can prove where I come from, where Jesus say he come from. Jesus steps on the earth and he gets up next to these people and says, you're the ones that killed him. Remember when he talked about slaying that little prophet between the altar? As he stood right there. You see, here's the thing you have to understand. Many of those Old Testament people, not everything they did was necessarily of God. God would hide himself in portions of their lives because they had the seed, but they had no water. So there was no Holy Ghost there to drive them to the absolute or drive them to the conclusion. Many of the godly people we read about in the Bible, they had areas in their life that wasn't 100% correct. Things they did that was wrong, things they did that went off the scope, things that they turned, certain things would become pagan or certain things would become absolute idolatry. Go back and just read in the Bible. One king after another did evil in the sight of the Lord over and over again. And then Jesus, or Almighty God, I should say, would hide himself in the life of one little king and hide himself there for about 20 years and exhibit just a few scriptures in the Bible, and he'd step right back out and they'd go right back to their normal humanity. And Satan said, that's an interesting philosophy. So hide yourself in camouflage, huh? Well, I'd like to read to you from the first seal. I don't think you all have this one, but if you do, you can pull it up. But in the first seal, Brother Branham said, that's the thing we're looking at tonight, Satan as a Pharisee or an actor. White horse representing righteousness, a bow with no arrows, showing that he was nothing more and nothing less than a bluff. But for many, many years, people read that very scripture and called that person Jesus Christ. Even your prophet done the same thing. Camouflage can be very deadly. I've known people through the years that even preachers. I found out about a case here the other day, a story I did not know. A certain preacher that I knew had backslid not too far from where we are here. Come to find out, not only was he doing all kinds of evil things to his children, but he was a drunk and he was a secret sinner. But to look at this guy, you would have never believed that he was that kind of monster. I just found out about some of the things that happened just the other day, some of the things his own family with his kids. I found out about it just a few weeks ago. I was blown away. I thought I knew that there was backsliding there, but I didn't realize it went to the depths of hell like that. But to listen to these people preach and to watch them operate, oh, so holy, so righteous. Friends, if this does anything to you at all, you know what it should do for you? It should drive your heart into a place to say, God, if there's any of this in me, take this out of me, Jesus. If I'm hiding behind a veil or a cloak or anything else, don't you see why in the last day people have become keyboard warriors? They don't protest on the streets like they used to. They'd rather get on YouTube. Why? There's more camouflage behind that screen. They don't have to come face to face, eyeball to eyeball, man to man with somebody anymore. They can get in a chat room and attack you. Cowards is what they are. Pharisees, modern day Pharisees and cowards. Same thing happens in a church with a little thing we call gossip. That's what gossip is, you know. Under the secrecy of things. Now, don't tell nobody else. I'm only going to tell you this. And what they're not saying is that they're only telling you because they know you're getting ready to tell 12 people for them. Praise the Lord. But a lot of church splits take place at Waffle House. Come on. In the midnight hour, somebody just pouring a heart. Oh, I'm just so broke. Did you talk to the pastor about it? No. Did you talk to the deacons about it? No, not really. What are you talking to me about it for then? You see, if you got an issue like that, you always go to the person that you could know has been called to help you. Praise the Lord. Right. In a multitude of counselors, it makes one wise. But how easy it is to put on the camouflage. Happens in our homes, happens with our kids. Happens over and over again. Well, hallelujah. Mark, you got happy songs? Happy songs? I mean really happy songs? I'm going to need them tonight, buddy. Now, what does this do for you? For me, when I was studying this, putting this together, and just trying by the help of the Holy Spirit to get it right, the more I saw this, the more I was thankful to God. Lord Jesus, thank you for making this so plain that I can see what a real Christian looks like versus what this looks like. I'm proud to say that I don't feel like this is in my heart. Now, do I see elements of this? Sure. Do I see elements where we act sometimes, a complex maybe in your life, and you'll put on some kind of a smoke show, you know, to kind of protect yourself? Sure. But what does God really want out of us? Pure honesty. Just to go before him like Zacchaeus and say, Lord, here I am. No camouflage, no smoke and mirrors, no pretenses. Just me, myself, and I. Just as I am. Take me as I am, Lord. God bless you. Y'all are good sports. I tell you that much. I'm glad that this church can take a little hard preaching. I've been some places I'd have done been walked out the back door. But you some tough eagles. You can handle some good preaching. And I like that. I like that you are. Now, think of it this way. Last statement, we're going home. When I read that Bible right there, that Bible tells me that whatever burden or whatever care or whatever concern I've got, that there's nothing that I can do if I'm sincere and I want to be right with God. The Bible tells me there is nothing that I can do that would cause him to ever reject me. There's only one thing, and that's complete blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And you take a person like that, they don't even have a desire to serve God in the first place. There's nothing. And let me say this. I don't have to hide from Him. He doesn't want me to hide from Him. He just wants me to be honest and come out of the tree. God bless you. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Am I still in the club? Am I okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your pity tonight. Appreciate that. Love you, folks. Oh, you say, Brother Ben, I don't know. That's awful hard. How am I supposed to know the difference? You know the difference based upon the sincerity of the feeling of your heart. You know, I think all of us are aware when we get into a spot to where we realize that we're just not really doing it right. I don't think anybody has to tell us. You know, if I go to a prayer closet and I'm there 10 minutes and I know I should stay longer, if I turn around and walk out of that place, I know exactly right then. I can feel it from me. You get back over there, boy. Because Jesus said that when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will lead and guide you into all truth. So if a man or woman's got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry. Don't go out of here tonight and say, oh, that's it for sure. I'm a Pharisee. No, they know the way around. I'm a Pharisee. If you even have that thought, you ought to come out of that tree then and say, Jesus, you see this Pharisee, and I don't want to be like them. Save me. Make me different. Let's pray together. While your heads are bowed, would there just be one like to slip your hand up tonight and say, Brother Ben, I know what the camouflage is. I know what that part looks like. And I want to come out of my tree. Just slip your hand up to the Lord just in prayer to Him. Amen. God bless your hands. Up all over the building. My hands up too. Let's pray for just a moment, can we? Father, thank You for the word tonight. Lord Jesus, You are so wonderful to just make things so clear to us. Because God, we know as Your children, we need that plain, transparent teaching. Help us, God, as Your people, to be able to take these things and apply them to our lives. Father, that's the whole reason why Your prophet taught us not to be legalist and not to be too much on grace, but to find a balance between these things. Because, Lord, anything else would put us in that acting category. And we don't want that, Lord. We want to be true, genuine Christians all the way down to it. So for every hand that was lifted, for every heart presented before You, a living sacrifice, may the Spirit of God work upon every life and every heart. For Lord Jesus, we commit every soul, every life, and every mind to Your hands. For the glory of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm feeling led to open the altar. If there's anybody like to come for prayer or come to pray, the altar's open for you tonight. With your heads bowed, just another moment. I feel caution to the Lord, do not be too quick. I feel like the Lord's dealing with somebody. Now, while you're standing there, you say, now, Brother Ben, the words affected me, but I don't know what my next steps are. Very easy. Just have the same attitude Zacchaeus did. Just come out of your place. Just get out from underneath all that you're trying to hide under and just bare yourself naked and open before Christ and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever I've done wrong, if I've made it wrong, I'll make it right. If I've messed up in my life or I've done something that might have been displeasing to You, whatever it is, I'll do my best to restore it. Not only restore it, but I'll go above and beyond and do twice that if You need me to. Oh, you say, does that work? Yes. If you have that attitude before Him right now, you watch and see if You don't start moving on your heart. Amen. Making changes in you. Hallelujah. Maybe some young person here tonight would want to come and pray and talk to the Lord a little bit. The altar's open for you tonight. Maybe some of the middle-aged, older ones, ever who you are, you're certainly welcome to come as we sing and worship the Lord. Just let Jesus deal with your heart. Help us, Lord, tonight, we pray. Help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing something for us, Brother Mark. Let's worship the Lord a little bit. Hallelujah.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry and hear my humble
why the Holy Please Spirit's moving for you tonight.
Just let go and let God have His way.
And the church said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. Shalom to the internet audience. 9:45, children's church, right? Children's school. 10, and then 11, right? Or 10:30 for the tape, right? And then 11 o'clock, adult Sunday school. And I believe, Pastor, you're going to be in the pulpit again Sunday, perhaps? Yeah, amen. Looking forward. I've been enjoying this in O'Brien, brother. My, what a subject. May the Holy Ghost just, may just get our spirit and our heart in a